Welcome, WSFI, to another edition of the Deacon's Roundtable. This is Deacon Greg Webster from St. Raphael the Archangel in Old Mill Creek, Illinois. Joining me in studio is Deacon Mike Alandi from St. Mary of the Annunciation and the Vicar for Deacons from the Archdiocese of Chicago, Richard Hudzik. We also have free agent Deacon Dave Egan calling in from Tennessee. And our guests, we have Joshua Dennis, who's the National Director of Alpha Catholic, and Jen Delavoe. I'm sorry, Jen. Evangelization Coordinator for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Before we get to our guests and welcoming them, we're going to start with a prayer from Deacon Mike.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, may everything we do today, especially in the next hour, our wisdom, our wit, and maybe some of the lame things we may say, may they begin with your inspiration, and may they continue to be a saving help to all those of our listeners. This we pray through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, and amen.
So, Josh, we have Joshua Dennis here, who's the National Director of Alpha Catholic Context, who's calling us today from Dayton, Ohio, sunny Dayton, Ohio. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Josh.
Yeah, pleasure to be with you, Deacon Greg. Thank you. So, I'm happily married. I have two beautiful children. I was a youth minister here in Troy, just down the street from Dayton. And, happily living the life, traveling around, telling people about how to share the message of Jesus with others.
So how did you get into Catholic ministry before you got into Alpha, and how did you end up at Alpha? Of course, we can need to say what is Alpha at some point. It would be nice, too.
So I graduated from Franciscan University of Steubenville about 15 years ago, and the strangest thing happened. Despite having degrees in theology and in philosophy, I didn't have a dozen job offers waiting for me with my graduation certificate. But fortunately, after several months of prayer and seeking, I got an opportunity to begin working as the director of evangelization at St. Michael's Parish in Exeter, New Hampshire, way off on the seacoast of the East. And the very first thing that the priest put me in charge of was first experiencing and then running this Alpha. And despite already having degrees in theology and philosophy, despite having already decided to serve the church with my life, I was blown away by this focus on deep, intimate, personal connection with Jesus. Such an approachable way to share the gospel with others.
Thank you. And we also have a line. Jen, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I come at ministry from a little different angle because I didn't go to a giant Catholic institution like Franciscan, but the University of Wisconsin is my undergrad. But I experienced this phenomenal campus ministry center that formed me. And so when I left, instead of going to law school, I continued formation and so forth, but also took a job in youth and young adult ministry in Ann Arbor and worked there for 12 years before taking a job at Holy Name Cathedral as Director of Faith Formation and working with especially the RCIA program and sacramental preparation and so forth. And then about 2 years ago, I was encouraged to apply for this rather strange role of Evangelization Coordinator, not 100% certain what it was, but I was told that I would love it. And it turns out that the person who told me that was 100% correct.
Very good. So in terms of your faith life, are you a saintly White Sox fan or a sinner?
Well, being a trans man, I'm actually not nuts about baseball. I don't dislike it, but I'm not a crazy fan. However, I love hockey, so I'm fully willing to become a rabid Blackhawks fan, if that's acceptable.
I was going to say, Red Wings or Blackhawks? Hockey town's pretty cool.
It is. But I moved here on the day that the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup and there were tornadoes. So I figured that was rather momentous and maybe I should switch allegiance.
So, Jen, as you know, Jen, we're in the Archdiocese of Chicago here, and WSFI, we're in the northern part of the diocese, and we're also in the southern part of the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and the eastern part of the Diocese of Rockford. And in Chicago, we're going through the program of Renew My Church, and anyone who's been involved in Renew My Church has heard about this Alpha program. So how do we start? What is this Alpha program, and why does the diocese keep telling us about it?
So I'm going to challenge first your use of the word program, because we're really, really good at programs in the Catholic Church. The problem is we often think a program is going to fix everything and it's going to be the silver bullet. But what we really see Alpha in our office as an amazing tool that is unlike any other tool out there, that along with the other tools that we're going to share with parishes as they go through this Renew My Church process, and along with the blueprints with which to build it, that we think that we can help parishes grow and develop a culture of evangelization using Alpha as a phenomenal tool. Like I said, we'll also help them out with other pieces and build out this culture of evangelization and what we call the missionary discipleship pathway, that which a person needs to grow and become a true missionary disciple who's well-formed and has had that encounter with Jesus and grows in that relationship with Jesus and his church.
But Janet, I mean, we have programs, or I'm sorry, not programs, however you want to say
tools.
The word. We have tools that come at us every mm-hmm. couple of years. Why is what's flavor of the day is this? Why, what are we, what's so different about this? We have Criseo, we have Chirp, we have all right. these great programs that are bringing people to Christ, and now we have Alpha, which we can get into details, but Alpha didn't even start being Catholic, so we have that aspect of Alpha to talk about as well. But so Diocese is doing Renew My Church, and they're throwing something new at us, mm-hmm. so we don't understand why.
Yeah. Well, I actually spent the first at least 6 months or so, and it went into the next phase of the time at the Archdiocese, but really we didn't start moving with anything until we did exhaustive research. And in addition to bringing the pastoral experience that all of us in the office have in our parish work, and those other programs and tools are phenomenal. The difference between those and Alpha, like you said, Priscilla, like Welcome or Chirp, Welcome's the new version of Chirp, and those all require a certain level of comfort with the Catholic Church. You either have to be in the church already to hear about the fact that there is a Chirp retreat coming up, or you have to have an ability to participate in the Mass and the sacraments, which means you're already a fully initiated Catholic. You know, that a lot of the things that we want to call evangelization require you to already be on the inside of the church. And so Alpha is an opportunity that allows us to offer something that absolutely anybody can approach. So whether you're a diehard from birth Catholic like me and my coworkers at the Cardinal Meyer Center who've been doing pastoral ministry for decades professionally and have even experienced Alpha and been transformed by it, or whether you're someone who's like a good friend of mine that has never been in church, not even married in a church, but when I was telling her about Alpha, she said, oh, that actually sounds like kind of interesting, because it's the questions that everybody asks. And if you want to put it in the Catholic context, Alpha basically is like the pre-catechumenate period of RCIA. It's the questions of, is there a God? Who is God? Who is Jesus? You know, those core items that we ask at some point in all of our faith life, but often don't have a place to discuss. And so Alpha gives us that opportunity to do that. And the methodology is one that is also incredibly unique, because it allows for a transformation of the parish culture. There's an experience of learning how to do deeper hospitality and invitation, of praying together more as individuals. You know, we're really good at communal prayer, and we sometimes forget that there's other times that we're called to pray for one another when we're just having a conversation. So there's wonderful pieces that can pull together and help then people who experience this take that sense of hospitality, take that transformation of an encounter with Jesus to the liturgical ministries, to the catechetical ministries, and help influence parish culture to be more evangelizing and more welcoming of the outsider.
So how is this where's our target audience here? Because I'm thinking the people in my parish, and Joshua, please weigh in on this. The people in my parish don't consider themselves adverse or distant from the faith, and we're talking about bringing in people. Mm-hmm. So is the emphasis on Alpha bringing new people into the church, or are we talking about the new evangelization of getting the people in the church reinvigorated?
That's a really good question. Yeah. It reminds me of an old radio commentator you might appreciate. Being a radio commentator yourself, Deacon Greg, I often quote Paul Harvey, and he has this quote, and he says, "Too many churches have become keepers of the aquarium rather than fishers of men." Too many churches have become keepers of the aquarium rather than fishers of men. And he challenges us to take an outward focus, to reach out into the depths to those people who are farthest from the gospel, those who are most desperately in need of the joy that comes from an encounter of deep, intimate connection with Jesus. And what we found in the work of Alpha is if we can create a space where those who are farthest from the gospel, atheists, agnostics, secularists, sometimes Hindus and Muslims, those who are farthest and most committed against coming to an encounter with Jesus, if we can create a space where they can feel welcomed, they can feel loved, they can feel appreciated, and they can really wrestle with what they believe in light of the message of the gospel, if we can make them feel welcome and give them a pathway to encounter Jesus Christ, then anyone else at a closer space from the boat, if you will, we're casting out to the deep, we throw that net out as far as we can, as we pull it back, we can reach those who are closer as well. Conversely, if we create an environment only where Catholics are going to feel welcome, then only Catholics are going to be moved by it. So it's by creating that space that reaches to the margins that we have the potential to reach everyone.
Well, I certainly want to reach the margins, but you know, if I could just get a lot of those people that were at Easter Sunday that might be on there a couple times a year, I think we'd be doing pretty good renewal right there, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I think that's a great place for us to begin. You know, it takes a while for churches to really flex their evangelizing muscles, and so often a great place to begin is, who do you already have access to? And several times a year we have these audiences that are sort of kind of connected to our church, and throughout the country we actually have many Alpha churches who took Easter Sunday as an opportunity not only to celebrate the joy of the resurrection, but also to invite these guests who came to their church for this rare occasion. So we are so happy you are here. And you know what? We'd love to give you a free meal. We'd love to invite you to come join us next week and begin conversations on basic questions of the meaning of life. Alpha is this experience of warmth or hospitality. We'll have a meal together, and then we'll talk about what we think, what we really believe and feel, without any fear of judgment or expectations. And if you want to be part of that journey with us, we'd love to have you regardless of what you believe today. And so as a result of that, Easter and Christmas are great opportunities to begin those conversations with new audiences. And ideally, if we're doing a great job building those relationships, not only will these people have an opportunity to encounter Jesus for themselves, but if it's truly compelling for them, they'll be fired up and ready to invite their friends and their neighbors and their loved ones that we don't have access to. And so it really is a both-and quotient to reach everyone who is in need of the joy of the gospel.
Are we at a point where we can flesh out, this is Richard, flesh out what Alpha is, what it looks and feels like, what that process is, how long does it take, what's the commitment, is there a commitment? What happens when I show up at an Alpha presentation?
Absolutely. Yeah, good questions. By the way, I completely agree with Jennifer's assessment that we don't think of Alpha as a program, but to be fair, Alpha also does have some programmatic elements to it. So, for example, Alpha is designed around a meal, followed by a basic presentation and a really simple concept of the gospel, and followed by a unique style of conversation where the guests are encouraged to say what they think, express what they feel, and they're not contradicted or challenged. They're simply affirmed for being willing to share. They're not told that what they think is right or true necessarily. They're just being affirmed for entering into the conversation. So meal, presentation, conversation. This typically happens over 11 weeks, and the high point of the experience typically happens right around week 7, where we have a day away or a retreat weekend away. for a unique time devoted to prayer and the Holy Spirit. And so this is the process, week in and week out, by which a church begins relationships with these people and hopefully treats them with hospitality and familiarizes them with a lifestyle of prayer and a lifestyle of encountering Jesus. Now, obviously, if you're going to do something like that for 11 weeks, you're going to need a good chunk of time, 3 to 6 months before that, to really prepare and build a team to do an effective job. So we actually encourage churches to set themselves a runway of 6 to 9 months, actually, to learn the resource themselves, develop an understanding of how to use it effectively, and prepare to promote and invite people to attend.
Who is on this team, and what are their functions when the event actually happens?
Yeah, very good. So one of the things that we like to say, one of our values at Alpha, is we are a gift for the church, to the church. We give away these tools at Alpha for completely free. We don't charge anything for them, but then we entrust the resource to the church, and they run the show. So Alpha, the organization, doesn't run Alpha, the resource. The church itself takes ownership of the resource, and they do their thing with it. Typically, we have every church should have a prayer coordinator, somebody whose job it is to pray and implore the Holy Spirit to show up, implore God to come and be present and uniquely make himself available, make his glory known to the people who come to Alpha. So we have a prayer coordinator. Typically, we have somebody whose job it is to administrate the experience, run RSVPs, and do all the behind-the-scenes work. Typically, it's a good idea to have somebody whose job it is to prepare the meal or create the environment. And then we have a really important role of hosts and helpers. So roughly for every 8 guests you have, you want to have at least 1 host and 1 helper. And these are the people who facilitate the conversation and make the guests feel welcome. So typically, depending on the size of your church, the size of your Alpha, you need roughly 6 team members for every 10 or so guests that you have on the team.
Is that 10? Is that a ballpark ideal number for these sorts of conversations?
Oh, it's most definitely. And part of what our office does is that we know this can be a challenge for people to think that ratio is very unusual. You know, normally you might have a Bible study that has 12 to even 20 people in it with 1 Bible study leader in it, 1 facilitator. So to think about who to ask and how many, that's part of the accompaniment process and, you know, coaching, for lack of a better word, that as parishes get to the phase of Renew My Church that's building new reality, or if parishes have come to some of our past evangelization days, there's tools and resources we have on how to discern individuals to invite onto your team. You know, we talk about the evangelization team and the Alpha team in much the same way, because you're looking for the same sorts of individuals. And sometimes those aren't the first people that jump up and down when you put that corner little bulletin ad in saying, hey, we're looking for people to help with an evangelization project. And so you want to think about who are the people that are warm and hospitable and welcoming and really good at meeting people where they're at. So we have resources to help parishes think about that, to reach perhaps those that haven't typically been involved before as leadership, because where their gifts and talents lie isn't necessarily something, you know, being on a committee. That's not what Alpha is. It's not asking people to be part of the Faith Formation Commission or part of the Pastoral Council. It's asking them to accompany individuals on that encounter and that growing relationship with God. And that's a kind of new job description for a volunteer in some of our parishes.
All right. Well,
yeah,
We're coming up against our first break here, Josh, so we're going to hold on for 1 second. We'll get back to it. You're listening to the Deacon's Roundtable on WSFI FM 88 on your dial. We'll be back shortly.
PADS Lake County is the homeless shelter system for our community in Lake County, Illinois. We work with our brothers and sisters who are experiencing homelessness to provide them with a safe, warm place to sleep and the resources and assistance they need to get back on their feet and back into housing. Literally thousands of volunteers make this happen by opening up space in their congregation and spending time feeding the homeless and ensuring they are cared for. We hear stories of inspiration from those volunteers and how they are truly the ones who have been helped by taking the opportunity to serve. We are thankful for all of them and for their willingness to give of themselves. To volunteer yourself or to make a donation, please visit padslakecounty.org or call 847-689-4357.
Hello, I'm Bill Wennington from the Church of St. Mary's and the Chicago Bulls. I believe Catholic radio is important for all of us out there listening to help us through days when maybe our faith is being challenged by many different obstacles that are put in our way. And it's a chance to reflect and just think and hear stories from other people that maybe are going through the exact same issues that we are going through and how they have struggled and how they are getting through their problems today.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
All right, we are back on the Deacon's Roundtable, and we're talking about the program Alpha going on here at the Archdiocese of Chicago and throughout the country. We have our guest, Joshua Danis, and Jen, who I'm not going to change. I'm not going to ruin her name again. She's a beautiful girl, and I don't want to ruin her name. We're talking about Alpha, and while my wife's listening, please quit calling while I'm on the air, please, and we'll go from there. So can we get into a little bit of details, whether it's Jen or Josh, about what's this meal? Can we go into each part of it and say, okay, what does this meal entail? Because I really don't want to go eat what Mike's going to cook.
Well, I love to cook, and I love to bake. So this is definitely a part of Alpha that I really appreciate, and I feel like, you know, somewhere my Grandma D is probably nodding along because she embodied what Alpha is all about with a meal. And it's not that you're serving a fancy five-course meal, you know, it's all about just being hospitable and being warm and welcoming. So it might be something as simple as chili, or back in my youth ministry days, our most popular meal that we would do as a fundraiser was always a baked potato bar. But if it works for your parish and you'd prefer to cater, or you've got a parishioner who owns a restaurant down the street and they are willing to provide the food, it's not what you serve, but how you serve it, and what's the atmosphere, and is there enough food? And this is where my Grandma D always excelled, where she made every meal when we'd visit feel like it was Thanksgiving dinner, that a Sunday lunch was a massive feast, and there was always leftovers, and if anybody came over, there was always enough food for them too. And that's the feel you want Alpha's meal to be, whatever it is you serve. And this is what's really great too, because it allows the diversity of our parish communities in Chicago that choose to do this to really reflect who they are, or who are different groups in their parish community. If there's different ethnic groups that might want to sponsor a week or something along those lines, to really show who they are and who they're inviting these individuals that participate in Alpha to become part of their family.
Why are we doing this meal?
I can relate to that, Greg. I come from the Filipino culture. Nothing starts, okay, unless there's a meal. Whatever it is, a birthday or an Easter gathering or a Christmas gathering, there has to be a meal. Mm-hmm. And it breaks down, okay, any obstacles there are, because you're eating, you're relaxed, you're relating to each other. You forget if there were anything, you know, unpleasant happened earlier. So I can see the value of the meal.
Where does this happen? I mean, we're talking about radical hospitality. Is this
Portillo's for me? I think.
Well, does this happen? Does this have to happen?
I'm waiting on that.
Does this have to happen at the parish?
Yeah, great
question. We actually are strongly encouraging that. Sorry, Josh.
I was going to say we have alphas happening in all different environments. We have alphas happening first in churches. It's often the best place to kind of learn the process. But then once you've mastered it, we have alphas happening in coffee shops and bars and restaurants, soup kitchens, prisons, YMCAs, you name it. If you can create a space where you can make people feel welcome, then it can be a great place to have that alpha experience. Another one of the values that we articulate with alpha is we want to create a space where people can belong before they come to believe. And that's why it's so important to have a meal together. That's why it's so important, regardless of where you're hosting, to create an atmosphere that is attractive and engaging for your audience.
But I got the impression from Jen that in Chicago, at least, they're encouraging people to use the parish, not to go over to Deacon Mike's house, even though he has a great meal there for everyone. So what's...
Well, actually, Alpha likewise encourages you to start hosting at your church.
Right.
And the reason for that is you want to create this central space that is a model for anybody engaged with Alpha of what Alpha excellence looks like. Making the lighting just right, the temperature just right, the music just right, creating that space where guests are going to be welcomed in the first few moments. Welcome, we're so happy you're here. And so to incarnate that in our local church community is a really effective way to make sure that anything you do at the YMCA down the street adheres to that level of excellence.
So it's a mixed... go ahead, Jen.
Yes. Sorry. No, I was just going to say, we really want the parishes to build their kind of evangelization muscle, if you will, in order to have those best practices. And it also is a really practical side, because I think some of our parishes default to thinking, oh, this could be just like that small group that we have during Lent. And the challenge with fielding out Alpha automatically off into parish houses of the parishioners and so forth is that automatically starts to cut people who are on the outside off. You know, when I think about it as a single woman myself, if a friend of a friend invites me to this thing and it's at some stranger's home, the chances of me walking into a stranger's home by myself is pretty much zero. A church space is at least a space that I know is safe and that I'm comfortable walking into on that level. You know, eventually as parishes do establish their best practices and form their teams and have the volunteers ready to go, then it is something to look at in their community. Are there spaces like those coffee shops or local restaurants and so forth, kind of along the lines of maybe Theology on Tap? So I think there's a precedence for it, but it's something that you build up to. You don't start with that as your default.
Now, in terms of promoting this, I'm going to suggest that a non-starter, well, let's say, not the most effective way of promoting this is putting it into the bulletin that the people that you want to reach are not there. I mean, is that...
Right.
So how do you begin to spread the word?
That's right. Yeah, and this is a challenge. This is part of the shift of the American Catholic cultural experience. We need to get more comfortable inviting our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our family members, our coworkers to come to an environment of warmth, humor, and hospitality. The great thing that Alpha does is it lowers the bar of engagement as low as it can be. It's a zero entry point, low threshold engagement. You have created a space where ideally anyone should be welcome. But ultimately, the only reason somebody's going to go is because someone that they enjoy being around has taken the time to invite them. And so we actually encourage our churches to have every person make a list of 5 or 6 people that you can be praying for, that God will create the opportunity, God will set up the circumstances for you to make an appropriate invitation for them to come to an Alpha. And it might be the 5th or the 10th time, over several years even, that you finally get a yes to that invitation. But it's always about the personal invitation. So we love promoting it on great radio programs like WSFI, but the primary way that we know people are going to say yes is if they've received that invitation from someone that they like being around.
And that invitation, I'm going to suggest, is not going to be forthcoming from me if I don't have confidence in what I'm asking my brother-in-law to come and attend.
Right.
So if I'm all, you know, we're so PC that, you know, I'm afraid somebody's going to challenge him or preach to him, although he could certainly stand it. But,
sure.
You know, I think the Catholic in the pew, who is probably a pipeline outward, needs to have confidence that this is something that's good to get people to come to.
Absolutely, because you may only have that one opportunity to make an invitation. And if you waste it on something that makes them feel uncomfortable or makes them feel like an outsider, then you may never get that opportunity back. So you want to have a lot of confidence in what Alpha has to offer, that it's going to do what it says it's going to do. It's going to respect them. It's going to make them feel loved and welcome and appreciated, regardless of whether or not they come to a moment of conversion right away, right?
Right.
And so because of that, actually, many of our churches will host kind of a come-and-see night for the insiders in their church, for those who are already members belonging to the church. And say, hey, this is what Alpha looks like. This is what Alpha feels like. Here's why we do Alpha like this. And they give them a taste of Alpha experience, if you will, so that they can get that confidence and be ready to maybe make that invitation themselves.
And I do want to say, I think it's a... Sorry?
Go ahead, Jen, and then we'll have Dave jump in.
Oh, I was just going to say, I actually think it's a good idea to put it in the bulletin. We don't assume, from our perspective in the Office for Evangelization and Missionary Discipleship, that everyone sitting in our pews has encountered Jesus, is a disciple, or even is a missionary disciple. And so that's why we do want to make sure that this is something that the parishioners, the people who are showing up, whether they stay past receiving the Eucharist or whether they're only there at Christmas and Easter, but that they're aware that this exists and that they're welcome to it too. And I think we sometimes forget about that need to offer that opportunity for people to encounter Jesus in our parishes in ways that are new or offer that encounter in a way that perhaps will speak to a different audience within our parish communities. It's an important component of this, I think. And then that enthusiasm can translate into becoming potential team members or talking about it with their neighbors at the block party. And if they learn that art of intentional invitation, and, you know, I never underestimate the power of the, well, I'll go if you'll go. You know, every time I announced an event as a youth minister, I heard that whispered throughout the room. And then I started working with adults, and I heard that as soon as I talked with my leadership team about a pilgrimage I was putting together, three people turned to their neighbor and said, well, I'll go if you'll go. And I realized, okay, something's going to change with time, it seems. So that, what, will you come with me to this thing? You know, I'm an introvert. I don't like to walk into a room of strangers, but if one of my friends says, I'm going, will you come with me? It instantly becomes much more likely that I'll agree, and much more likely that I'll want to go to that. So that I'll go if you'll go invitation, I don't want to underestimate that either.
Dave?
So one of the questions that I was thinking of as both Josh and Jen were talking is, it sounds that having people very much accepted and open, is the ministry as you go along the 11-week course, is that open and fluid so that people can have questions as they're going along, or is it sort of a set topic for each of the individual weeks?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. So the way Alpha is set up is it does follow a natural progression from very basic questions like, is there more to life than what meets the eye week one, to how could I have faith week three, why and how should I pray, and what about the problem of evil in week eight? So there's this very gradual progression from easy questions to more challenging, more spiritually intense questions. And that's designed at a rhythm to make the guest who's farthest from the gospel feel welcome and feel engaged. But we're amazed at the gradualness of pace that most people want to go. Even well-seasoned Catholics. We've had Catholics who've been going to church every single week for 70 years who attend the Alpha Experience, and they're very happy to stay on this topic of prayer for an extended period of time. But I will add to that that the goal of this is ultimately to make relationship, right? The goal is to create this belonging such that the relationship can continue past Alpha and outside of Alpha. So if somebody's really wrestling with, well, what about this baptism thing? Can you explain to me how this works and why this works? Then it's okay to either continue that conversation when your Alpha experience is over, or to get coffee ahead of time before the group gets together one night and talk about it one-on-one, perhaps, as a member of the team and a guest. So we have this freedom of relationship to move with people at their pace while respecting the person who's moving most slowly through the process.
That's a big part of where our office comes in, too. Alpha is just a component. You know, you do need to think about how you're accompanying people. We see time and again in some of our ministries with everything from RCIA to things like church, people have this mountaintop experience of faith, and they turn to the parish community looking for that mountaintop again in daily life. And there's a Bible study at 10 a.m. on Thursday mornings and nothing else for them besides Sunday Mass. And they work full time. So they don't have that sense of community. They don't have that sense of growing in their faith outside of the liturgy. And so our office can help parishes determine what pieces make sense to help answer the needs and the questions, and to help resource that and form companions for this journey so that people have the accompaniment in that relationship so that they can get their questions answered and not the questions that we think they're asking answered.
Okay. So I've wowed the people with my delicacies of freshly toasted Pop-Tarts to come to our meal, and I have them all excited here, and they're going to see a presentation. Who does this presentation? Who do we expect to see, or how is it done? Is it, do we have someone like Robert Barron wowing them in Catholicism? What's going on with this presentation?
Yeah, so there's a few different versions of these talks that are available, and different versions work for different audiences. We've got the Alpha Film Series, which is really set up as a docudrama, and so it's got these representatives of different churches. It's got Catholics and Protestants. It's got famous people and just people that they randomly pulled off the street to ask them random questions to. But the style of that one is so attractive for how people learn today, this kind of stream of consciousness style of learning. We've also got an older version that is kind of like the Robert Barron style, where it's one presenter speaking from the front of the room and a very structured, very logical formula. And so somebody who prefers a more structured approach to learning might like that version. And then we've got a youth series. And what's unique about the youth series is while it does wrestle with all the same questions that the other series work through, it encourages you to have just a few minutes of presentation followed by a bunch of conversation. More presentation, conversation. And so that allows them a little bit more time to process and to work through their perhaps less develop attention spans as young people. But regardless, you also have a script version available. So all of these different versions are available, but the goal is to have the same content experience, simply mere Christianity's most basic ideas of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection.
So, Jen, in your experience in the Chicagoland area, which of these series are you tending to promote for our churches?
I would really recommend parishes to go with that first one that Joshua spoke about, the film series, because it is so impeccably produced, especially if you are used to the quality, the multiple venues and global reach of things like the Word on Fire series. It will resonate with that, and it is a really wonderful format that pulls from a variety of individuals' perspectives. So as Josh said, there's individuals across both Protestant and Catholic perspectives. Every single video has segments of Catholic speaking or being quoted. I mean, there's so many saints peppered in, and honestly, one of my favorite parts is about halfway through the final video when Cardinal Schönberg starts speaking to his experience of parish life and belonging in his childhood and how transformative that was. And so then that's tempered by the absolutely hysterical people on the streets. There's a charming couple from, I'm guessing, India, and they are hysterical, as, you know, only a young husband and wife can be. So it's really a great pace that will keep people engaged. And it also appeals to that demographic that so many of our parishes are concerned about, and that's the younger adult crowd. Many of the faces and voices are younger. The methodology of conveying the content speaks to the 20s and 30s crowd very easily. So it will resonate with that target audience that many of our parishes find themselves focusing on or wondering how can they reach them with new materials.
We're coming up for our second break here on the Deacon's Roundtable at WSFI 88.5 on your FM dial. We'll be back after these few messages.
The bookstore is blessed with the opportunity to participate with WSFI Catholic Radio in the new evangelization. Holy Family is your local resource for books, CDs, and DVDs from Catholic Answers, Ignatius Press, and all of the other fine publishers featured on Catholic Radio. Holy Family also has the area's largest selection of baptism, communion, and confirmation gifts. Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is located at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information is available on Facebook.
WSFI is on social media. Follow us on Twitter at WSFIFM and like us on Facebook by searching for WSFI Catholic Radio.
Want an example of a false sense of security? How about relying on the life insurance you get through work to pay for all of your final expenses? Do you have plans to retire someday? Or do you plan on working for that company for the rest of your life? The fact is, you may lose your life insurance when you leave a company. I'm Matt Tomlinson from Catholic Financial Life, and I invite you to share your hopes and dreams with me. To discuss your options for protecting your family, call me at 847-548-MATT. That's 847-548-6288. Products and services not available in all states.
All right, we are back on the Deacon's Roundtable. I have Deacon Mike Alandi and Deacon Richard Hudzik and Deacon David Eakin with me here, and I am Deacon Greg Webster at the St. Raphael of the Archangel Parish. We're talking with Joshua and Jen about the program Alpha that's coming to all the parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago, we hope someday, but we're starting somewhere. If I can ask a question to you, Josh, when I hear Alpha, and a lot of people hear Alpha, I hear a lot of complaints about it's a Protestant program. We don't want a Protestant program in our parishes, and we'd rather do something Catholic. Respond to that, would you, Josh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can certainly relate to their concern. I went to Francis University of Steubenville specifically because I knew that the professors there had committed to teaching the authentic Catholic teaching. And so I'm deeply in love with the doctrines and dogmas of the Catholic Church. And so I was first directed to explore this Alpha resource and first experience it for myself, I had that question, I had that hesitation, can I trust this? And what I discovered was first that Alpha is grounded in what C.S. Lewis called mere Christianity, this message of what we as Christians of all different stripes and kinds have in common, that of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. The early church would have called the messaging that of the kerygma, this basic message that we have in common. And the second thing was I discovered that the nature of the process was so effective at enabling people to enter into deep personal relationship with each other and ultimately intimate prayerful relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today I can say that while I still deeply hold and committed to everything the Catholic Church teaches, I also am proud to be part of a movement of people who are united around the common message of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to continue to struggle and strive and work towards Christian unity by addressing and speaking through some of the difficult differences that separate us that make us separated brethren from each other. But what unites us, that is, the person of Jesus Christ, is so much stronger than that which divides us. And so I rejoice and I celebrate the fact that we get to, as Jesus prayed in John 17 on the Last Supper, he prayed that his disciples might be one, that the world might believe. Alpha and the messaging of Alpha is an example of what we are one with all different Protestant and Catholic brothers and sisters. So I'm proud that this is the message that we get to show to an unbelieving world, a message of the love of a son who is willing to die for the sins of mankind. It's great that we have that in common, and Alpha does a great job of showing that.
So the way I get it is, Alpha is not a program, but rather an experience of people meeting each other as human beings, and an experience of people meeting Christ. And
that's right.
That's basically the joy they have in those, I don't know how many weeks, which becomes now the energy that draws other people to join future Alpha programs.
And yeah, well said.
It seems to go across faiths or beliefs or religious orientation. It's like simply saying, Jesus came into this world to save us. And just like St. Peter, when he was preaching right after the descent of the Holy Spirit, he was preaching to everyone, all different kinds of people, all different languages and cultures. That, am I right? That's how I'm beginning to hear the two of you.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's great. So the content is very simple. So you are going to hear all different perspectives, all messaging that we as Catholics can agree with and support. But for example, 1 week in the series, you're going to hear the story of the canonization of Maximilian Kolbe. And every other Protestant church that's using Alpha is also going to hear the story of the canonization of Maximilian Kolbe. Another week, you're going to hear some great quotes from John Wesley and the impact that he had in leading people back to an encounter with Jesus Christ in England and, frankly, in the New World as well, even though it's for a Protestant experience. But nothing that they're going to say is going to contradict the basic message of the gospel that both Protestants and Catholics hold to dearly.
So I also take it to understand then that when you mention the word prayer and the retreat, that this prayer time is an experience of prayer, not just chanting or going through some liturgical rites, but experiencing a conversation with the Lord Himself. Am I in the right direction as far as the prayer you were mentioning and the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. So Alpha is very Trinitarian. We introduce God the Father, we introduce Jesus Christ, God the Son, and we introduce this mysterious person of the Holy Spirit. And just as is the oldest prayer of the church, as we mentioned in Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost moment, we have just this time where we say, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. And then we wait in the quiet and we pray that God show up and minister to his people and give us an encounter of his presence. And sometimes it's a miraculous and mysterious and exciting event, and sometimes it's just very quiet. But we believe whenever we ask God to show up, he answers that prayer. And so we have accounting after accounting of people who pray, and then their lives are changed forever. And maybe it's that moment, or maybe it's a gradual process over the next several weeks. But regardless of how he does it, just as he did when Paul prayed, come Holy Spirit, today when we ask the Holy Spirit to come up, he does, and lives are changed.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think a second aspect of the prayer experience of Alpha that's incredibly powerful and something that isn't as natural to us as Catholics is that it encourages that shift from I'll pray for you, meaning you just told me something about your life that I'll keep in prayer during my personal morning prayer time or when I'm at Mass, to can I pray with you? And asking in that moment to sit and to pray with that person, even if it is just a moment, or if it's a longer praying with them and lifting up what's burdening them, what they're thankful for, that it's engaging in that prayer immediately together. And I've
watched that already be incredibly transformative, you know, even not knowing whether that prayer is answered, but just that experience between those people praying together and how that shifts the relationship between them, the relationship between the individual being prayed with and the broader community in which this has occurred. And it's absolutely awe-inspiring.
And Jen, let me speak to that. And also give a shout out to Franciscan University for Joshua's benefit. But Jen, when I was at a retreat at Franciscan University last summer, I'm going back again this summer, but it's a retreat at Steubenville for priests, deacons, and seminarians. And the speaker last year made this comment about, you know, when people after Mass will come up to the deacon or any minister there and, mm-hmm. you know, will you pray for me? And me being very shy, retiring, and self-effacing person that I am.
And humble.
And humble, too. I'm famous for my humility. But my inclination would be to say, yeah, I will. The advice we mm-hmm. received at the retreat at Franciscan was, well, don't just say that. Why don't you just do it right then and there? Why don't we pray right. together? And it's, oh, my gosh, that is so revolutionary for me as a Catholic. But it raises the intimacy, the sharing to the nth degree. It's really, it's stupendous to do that. And if that's mm-hmm. part of Alpha, then good on Alpha. The other thing I wanted to ask about, and we've talked about this a bit, but a successful Alpha, the point of Alpha is not to survive 11 weeks and disappear from the scene forevermore. I mean, that's not the hope.
Oh, no.
But if that happens, okay, maybe some other time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm curious about addressing an internal conflict or how the message is shared between we want to welcome you from where you are, but if you really pressed me and really asked me, I would like to show you more when we're done with Alpha. How do you manage that kind of I'm thinking of it as a tension that you want to be honest with people that
right.
know that there are no
yeah.
commitments.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, how do you restrain yourself from saying, but look at what else is here?
Well, I'm going to challenge you by turning your word choice around, actually, from instead of I want to show you to I want to invite you. And when we go back to that concept of invitation, it requires a relationship. You know, you can stand on the street corner and proselyze. That's a possibility, but it's not particularly effective, as anyone who's walked through downtown Chicago can probably tell you. But if you invite somebody into this process of experiencing Alpha, and they're accompanied over that time, and they form that community, as the best practices, or the recipe, as Alpha calls it, for the best practices of the 11-week series occurs, people form that sense of belonging, or more than likely will, and there will be people who are on the team that get to know that individual. So say there's one person who really had a lot of questions about scripture during the week that talks about the Bible. That person is a great individual that could be invited to join the Bible study. That person might be a great person to say, hey, in 2 weeks we have the Lenten faith sharing group started and we're going to be reflecting on the gospel. Would you want to come join me at my small group? If there's a person who really is trying to figure out this prayer thing, maybe it's inviting them to join some of the prayer ministries, or it's looking at that individual's needs. Where is God calling them to grow, not where do we want them to grow into? And so that's part of what our office does with this missionary discipleship pathway, is say we need to create this belonging and accompaniment so that we can help parishes determine how they can respond to the needs of those who are present and not the needs they think they have to create responses for. So we'll help parishes develop communities to help support that sense of belonging. We'll help parishes develop ways to look at their other tools and programs and ministries that are active in the parish and to think, how can I align my Bible study to maybe have a new series start 2 weeks after Alpha, so that anyone who's coming out of Alpha that had those questions can be invited with that same warmth and hospitality into this Bible study series. How can I encourage our Rosary group to be ready to receive people, you know, a week or two after our Alpha series wraps up? You know, and so it's really asking those questions of what's already there, how can we connect the dots? And if there are gaps, how can we help fill in those blanks? And that's where we can step in and be of support and help to the parishes as they go through that process.
So Jen,
because it is a journey, and it's different for everybody. You know, I have a sneaking suspicion if we all told our stories of our encounters with God and our development and our faith journey, we would have each of us an incredibly different story to tell. And so we want to help be able to facilitate that for every individual.
So, Jen, we have a minute left here on here, and we know that Alpha is going to be starting up soon at St. Raphael the Archangel Parish, Old Mill Creek, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
What about the people in Rockford, people in Milwaukee, other parishes in the Vicariate 1 area of WSFI, besides St. Raphael the Archangel and Old Mill Creek, Illinois, where they should come and visit? How do they find Alpha?
Well, I think the best option is to actually go to alphausa.org. So I'll plug the website for Josh, because all of the people who run Alphas, once they get going, they register them on the website and make it open to anyone that way. I would also suspect that you will see it in parish bulletins and so forth. When it comes to Vicariate 1, honestly, it's just going to be St. Raphael's for probably the next couple of months. There may be some other parishes that are piloting it, but they're still
there are no other parishes in Vicariate 1.
That
is the only parish in Vicariate 1. So we're ending our show today. I'd like to thank you so much, Joshua and Jen, for being with us here on WSFI FM 88.5 on your dial. Angela, will you come with me to our Alpha event? People of WSFI, I'm inviting you to come with me. Come to St. Raphael the Archangel. We want to have you. Thank you. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Deacon.